has 120 hours of intensified training in Bible. He has preached in several congregations in Alaska, Fairbanks, Moose Creek, and now South Anchorage. Before that, he had preached in Texas, Oklahoma, Nebraska, Arkansas, Illinois, Idaho, West Virginia. His special interest has been in personal evangelism and outreach. He works with the prison ministry, the drug rehab centers, AA and NA organization. He's worked with many in anger management, stress management, and family development. Willard and Carolyn have been married 37 years. They have two sons and five grandchildren.
I'm still wondering where they came from. Man, I got to talk to my sons. Putting this down here for a minute, Robert. This way, maybe I can get my stuff up here where it belongs and then put his stuff over there, and we'll get started into our lesson. I want to thanking the Valley Congregation for hosting such a wonderful lectureship this year. Hasn't it been wonderful? Amen. We had a great seminar, leadership seminar. That was fantastic. We really appreciated all the effort that went into that. Also, we want to thank Brother Howard for all the work that he did in bringing us some really important information about leadership. And so we are so thankful for that. Also, would like to extend my appreciation to my brethren from South Anchorage that helped us out this evening. Leading the prayers, the songs, and also the congregational report. I know it's not real easy to get up in front of a crowd, of this magnitude and to do these things. So we're glad that we have men of great courage like that, good leaders. The subject that has been given for me to share with you this evening is entitled Faith Moves God. And if we begin to realize how important faith is in our own personal development, isn't it wonderful to know that we can acquire that faith the more that we study? The book of Romans obviously tells us, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you read the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So as we read, as we study, as we apply, and as we put into practice the powerful word of God, our faith becomes stronger each and every single day. And as that faith begins to grow and magnify in ourselves, I want you to realize that faith has the ability to move God to bring rich blessings upon all of us, especially his body. We're all members of the body of Christ, and we find ourselves needing God's help, God's aid, and God's assistance in overcoming some of the difficulties that we face from time to time. Things that come to attack our faith. Things that come to discourage us and try to leave us in a spirit of despondency. We need to be able to overcome these things. And yet, oftentimes, we seem to have faith. We seem to be, capable of being on the straight and narrow way. But then, all of a sudden, undercurrent things come and drag us down, and before you know it, we're in the quicksand, we're sinking, and we're trying to find out how can we survive? How can we make it? So our faith is something that we need to stand on. We need to know that God is standing there helping us, but sometimes we may not always think that he is. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, as we get into this tonight, we see that this passage of Scripture emphasizes our faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, is God a rewarder of faith? The Bible says so. The Bible very intently says so. And also with that incorporated is those who diligently seek him. So, I need to realize that as I have faith, and I have confidence and trust in God, that God says, I will reward this. I will bring rich blessings into your life. And many of us don't believe that, but yet if we take a look at Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we can be content with the idea or the observation there that if we put first the kingdom of God, then all of these things shall be added unto us. The things that he's talking about that have been, you know, given in verse 25 down, and it's the things that, you know, like the food and the shelter and the clothing, all the necessities of life. God says, I will take care of you. But we may not believe that, and we may find ourselves in a position where we doubt what God can do for us. And if we allow that doubt to creep in, to begin to, you know, cancerize our faith, and we begin to disbelieve in God and his ability to do what he says he will do, what did God say? If you remember back over in the book of James chapter 5, one of the greatest things that man was to ask for was to ask for wisdom, was it not? Did he not say that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all liberally and upbraideth not? But let him ask how? In faith, nothing doubting, because the man that doubt is what? He's like the waves of the sea, he's driven by the winds, he's tossed. And he says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. So when you start to doubt God, better be ready to understand you're not going to receive anything. So what do we do about it? We stay the course. That's right. We stay the course in spite of the adversities, in spite of the things that the devil is going to do to us, in spite of the harm, in spite of whatever he destroys, we will stay the course. We will not give him the satisfaction of taking our faith away. He may take our families away from us. He may take our children away from us. He may take our husbands and wives away from us. He may destroy people in every aspect of life. But still, he will not get my faith. Now you say, give me an example. Well, obviously, the first example that we come to has to be Job, right? We consider Job. Did Satan do anything to him? Well, he took his children, didn't he? He destroyed his property. He took, he destroyed his servants. The only thing he didn't destroy was his wife. I oftentimes wonder, why didn't he take her? I know why he didn't take her. Because she was an asset. Wasn't she? He was trying to use her. Well, Job, come off of it now. You're suffering and you're in agony and all of this pain. Go ahead and curse God and die. My word, that's support. Wasn't that good support? Go ahead, curse God and die. Okay, that's the kind of wife I want. Yeah. Don't you just love a wife like that? No. So obviously, he persevered through that whole situation, did he not? Even when he had the boils upon the crown of his head to the sole of his feet, he did not give up his faith. He maintained, he persevered. Did God reward him? Yes, he did. Did God bless him? Yes, he did. And you see how that he did that. Jesus said in his admonition to the people whenever he was in John chapter 10 and verse 10, and he was talking about the sheep and the shepherd and such, he says, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not just an average, ordinary, mundane type of life, but God says, I want you to have an abundant life. But that abundant life, it begins with faith. As God sees your faith being demonstrated, as God sees your faith at work and sees how that you have stayed the course, then he also, as he has blessed, Job, he will bless your life. He will make that life to be what it needs to be. In spite of the adversities that you have suffered, in spite of the difficulties that you have faced, or maybe that you will face, God says, I will be there for you. Now I ask, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Or do we not believe that? And so we have to come to understand exactly where we stand. Do we stand with God in our faith, in our abilities to overcome, to understand where we are and what kind of faith that we have, and that we're not going to let anybody or anything take it away from us. If we do, then our life will be very pitiful. It will be very pitiful. Pitiful and sad, and we may never recover from it. But as God tries to continue to admonish us, He tries to continue to encourage us, and as we look at that encouragement, as we look at what He's trying to help us to see, we understand how that tenacity appears and makes itself apparent. The illustration in the lesson is that of the farmer. And the farmer goes out and he prepares the soil. And yes, he has to rely and trust upon God, does he not, for that rain and for that sunshine and for all the other things that are in the ground, the minerals and the vitamins and whatever it takes to grow it. And he's there trusting God to do his part. But if the man never puts the seed in the ground, it's not going to grow, is it? And so the man trusts that God will do his part as he does his part. As I put out my faith, I know that my God has promised that he will do certain things for me. In the book of John chapter 16 and verse 33, we find out in this passage an encouragement that comes from Jesus himself. He tells us not to grow weary or not to become distraught at the fact that the world, that we're in the world. You know, the world and its pressures and its anxieties and its frustrations are there. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So can you. So obviously, we have to take heart in that kind of faith. It's not a faith that is just there, just to be stationary. It's there to be active. It's there to be put into action. The word pistuo is that faith that is moved to action. But yet we have to ask ourselves, do we have that passive faith? Or do we have that active faith? Where are we at? Where are we at? Think about it for just a moment. Where am I at in the scheme of things as far as God is concerned? The devils believe and tremble, folks, don't they? Just read James chapter 2, verse 19. They are terrified of God. They tremble in the presence of God. And yet, sometimes we don't tremble. We're not afraid. We disobey God, so what? Our faith, our confidence, our trust is sometimes just in ourselves and in the world and the things of the world. And they will be burned up someday. They're going to be gone, I'm sorry. But that's the way it's going to be. And as we begin to look and to understand the perseverance that we need to have, we can come to that encouraging passage of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 15:58, can't we? It's a good one. It's a good one. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not empty. It's good. It's exciting. It's dynamic. God wants us to have that dynamic faith. That faith that is there and is persistent in following God in spite of whatever stumbling blocks, whatever things that Satan might try to put in our pathway to keep us from reaching God, we're going to overcome that. One of the greatest things that I used to enjoy was high school sports. And when we got into track season, I was not a runner, as you can well see. You know, I like to run. It's just that I didn't have enough speed to beat anybody. So be it. But I wasn't a bad shot put man. And I wasn't a bad discus man. You know, hey, I could do something good. But the thing I like to do is to go out there and watch those guys with those tall, long legs. Now, in our congregation, we got a man that's like that, Chris Mack. Y'all might know him. If you don't know him, you know him now. He's here. Yeah, I know. He's right behind the Hedrick family over here. But old Chris Mack's got long legs. And I just almost believe that he could run hurdles. Did you ever run the hurdles, Chris? Oh, he's nodding on me. Oh, yes, he is. He used to run the hurdles. And the fact still is, and that is this, how that those guys could just do the right timing and get over those hurdles without knocking them down. I tried that one day, and I wound up flat on my face and said, that's it. End of that. I don't need that anymore. So as a result, I used to sit and watch and was amazed at the athletic capabilities that these people had in overcoming the hurdles and getting through that 100-yard dash for those hurdles, how fantastic that was. And what I can see now that is Christians, we are in the race, are we not? And we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So it's obvious that we have to do our part. Satan puts the hurdle down there. Let's jump over it. Let's train ourselves. Let's allow ourselves to become more faithful, more devoted, more committed, more surrendered, more submitted to the ways of God. And in so doing, faith increases. It becomes dynamic. Nobody can move me away from God. Come on and try. I challenge you. Don't you get excited about that? Wow, I do. I just get excited about seeing all that. You know, when I was a little boy, and as many of you may think I wasn't ever a little boy, but I was. And there were times when I had heroes who were strong men. Ever remember seeing some of those strong men who sit up there, and they flex their muscles like this, and yeah, they worked out for who knows how long to get those kind of muscles, And me, after I'd watch them for a while, I'd be so inspired. We had this big, humongous sweet gum tree outside in our yard. I'd go out and I'd say, I believe I can push you down. And try to push that big old tree down. No, I didn't push the tree down. Oh, thank you, bro. Hang on a minute. Oh, yeah. I can go another hour now. Thank you, brother. Dynamite. I tried to push that old tree down. It's still standing to this day. Couldn't push it down. But I remember my grandfather says, if you have so much energy, let me show you how to get rid of trees. I don't know if I like that energy thing anymore. So he said, I got a cross-cut saw in here. And let me just take you to the fields and I'll show you what pine trees look like. Well, I don't like pine trees, because they cause me pain. They cause me lots of back pain. Sitting over there, my grandfather, he was sawing like this with one hand and I was down there. Can we slow down now? Can we take a break? What's up? Not until we get all these trees cut down. You want to push something over? Now push this one while I keep on cutting it. And I'm here to tell you, you learn pretty quick that, not necessarily pushing over trees is a whole lot of fun anymore. But the fact still remains, and that is this. It was the concept of the inspiration. Know what I'm saying? Are you with me? It's inspiration. And who is inspiring you? Who has given you inspiration to continue in the faith? To be able to have the kind of faith that is going to be able to overcome, that is going to be able to endure and persevere as our God has asked for us to do. In the book of Revelation 2:10, we are exhorted there, if you will, to be faithful even unto the point of death. So let's not allow ourselves to be overcome, but let us be faithful even unto the point of death. Let us remain in that mode of devotion to the Lord. Paul came to the end of his journey. as many of us will someday. At the end of his journey, he comes out and he says, I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And what's he going to get? Henceforth, there's the crown of righteousness laid up for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me and all of those who love his appearing. But brethren, let us summarize this lesson this evening with this exhortation. Let us be as Paul when we come to the end of our journey. I have fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. Amen.